Every year, the Pew Research Center reports on the changing face of the religious landscape in America. Most news outlets go on with their lives, more concerned with the latest racket from Congress. But for the many Christian websites and news outlets, it's a mixture of a call to arms and the ongoing obituary of a God-fearing nation. Evangelicals all over the country sit down to play a strange numbers game, comparing statistics between Catholics and Protestants as if still in competition over the Reformation. Pastors stand in their pulpits and recite the statistics like a hot new Apocrypha or Revelations Part 2. The rise of atheism seems to be the preferred scapegoat, despite the fact that atheists continue to hover at a stingy 4% of the American population. But inevitably, the tide of fear turns to everyone's favorite biblical activity, finger-pointing. Gen Xers get the brunt of the blame for millennials' church-skipping ways, despite the decrease starting in earnest with the boomers. Now, all eyes are on the emerging Gen Z kids. How could the Christmas Easter only crew, where half reject the doctrine of evangelism, possibly raise a faithful generation? And this isn't just a Christian problem either. Most religions in America have an aging population, as well as fewer and fewer churchgoers. But here's the thing, is that really a problem? Ignoring the difficult discussion of if religion is a good thing in today's day and age, how does my generation actually interact with faith? Growing up in the midst of seemingly never-ending international crises, how do we deal with our own mortality? I asked my local Gen X dedicated Christian evangelist what she thinks about the fate of our youth. Hi, Mom. So, is religion going obsolete in America?
It could very well be. I wouldn't say completely obsolete, but playing less of a role than it ever has before.
And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
You can look at it two ways. I think it is a bad thing because it just mirrors our society's distrust and the basic nature of institutions, and we now have a lot of people who are just nebulous without any sort of structure to their lives and no way to identify with anything. So that, I think, church is one of those institutions that's drifted away from people's lives. The good part of it that I think is that the people who do go to church and who do observe any sort of religion are going to be more dedicated and more consistent and just more of, I guess you could say, a true believer rather than somebody who is doing it for the societal pressure.
What do you think our religious lives are like?
That's a really awesome question because that's kind of a mystery. I feel like most of the people that I have met that are in the 25 and under age group are just plain busy. And it's really hard to catch somebody who actually thinks about, is there an afterlife? Is there, what's the meaning of purpose of life? I feel like everybody is more focused on what's right in front of them at that moment and don't really want to solve any of great life mysteries at this time because they're busy, got to do a lot of stuff.
Instead of engaging these questions with reverence and heart-touching anecdotes, I decided to set up speed dating, but for faith systems. I created a quick, searchable database of world religions, attempted to weed out as many cults as possible, and grabbed a few friends and benevolent strangers to find out if we really are just too busy to explore faith. First off, let's talk to the disillusioned horror terror ghost of religion's past. Presenting my roommate, actual atheist V. Okay, so you're only into gods if they're entertaining.
Very much so. So, I come from a Hindu family. Mm-hmm. Both sides of my family are Brahmin, which, for those of you who aren't familiar with the caste system, is basically kind of like the religious and scholarly caste. My father's side runs a small temple town, while my mother's side, while they don't have that strong ties to religion, they have strong ties to the government, and so are still raised with a relatively strong moral backbone. I personally am an atheist. I've been mostly raised in the United States, so not very close to my hometown or home faith.
What are your feelings on sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
Rock and roll, love it. Sex, also love it. Drugs, also love it. Like, good hobbies. Good hobbies to have. As long as you're not, like, shirking your responsibilities, and as long as you're kind of, like, keeping up what you're supposed to be doing, and having a sense of direction, not really using them to escape from reality, like, then I can't dictate what you do outside of your day job.
Let's talk about those responsibilities a little bit. Like, what responsibilities do we have to the people around us?
Technically, you're not supposed to hurt people. We do that sometimes in the name of self-autonomy, in the name of 100 different values. But in general, I suppose the responsibilities you have to do are the ones you take upon yourselves and the things that come with living in a society. A general feeling of if you said you're going to do something, you should probably do it unless you want to be a douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
Really, this is a pretty vague term. It's much more personally defined.
Have you ever considered Neo-Hellenism?
Okay, that's a word I don't know.
All right, so neo, meaning new, obviously, and Hellenism referring to the natural character culture of ancient Greece. So you would be worshiping the Greek gods, probably not out of a sense of actually believing in them, but out of a sense of this is fun and the altar's pretty, might as well.
Do I have to work out?
Well, it depends. Some people, like, would define themselves as, like, the acolytes of Zeus, and so you'd probably have to be shredded to follow the lightning god.
Mm.
But let's say you want to follow, like, Dionysus.
Might join the cult. I think I started the cult of Dionysus on this campus, didn't I? I mean, I will join the national club of Dionysus. I'll join the national chapter. Let's make this shit official.
All right.
What are the other options?
Your other option that I have for you is non-theistic Satanism.
Ooh, I like that kind of Satanism.
Yes. It is a ferocious religion based on materialism, the empowerment of the self, the carnal realities of animal life, the questioning of social taboos, the ridiculing of every other religion, and the promotion of tough social justice.
I feel that, but I also don't feel like ridiculing other religions. Like, religion exists for a reason. It creates order. It makes people feel comfort. Like, it exists for a reason. For the most part, as long as we're not killing people over it, I mean, it's not causing that much harm.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't agree with that part, but, like, other shit I can get behind.
While V is by no means a jaded, angry, ironically holier-than-thou atheist, they are still sure of their stance on God and how little that affects their life. For them, responsibility stems from an internal and individual sense of duty, not order handed down from the big guy. So how about the people who are less sure where they stand? Shannon grew up in a mixed faith household and came out something entirely different. So, what is your current faith background?
I would call myself an agnostic Quaker right now because, so my dad raised me Episcopalian and my mom raised me Quaker.
Mm.
And so I, like, alternated Sundays going to Episcopalian church, Quaker meeting. I went to, like, Quaker gatherings and stuff, and I decided that the, like, sort of silent meditation and, like, equality of anyone being able to speak kind of spoke to me more for Quakerism. But then as I got older, I was like, I haven't really had any, like, quote-unquote experiences with God. Like, I've sat in silence, and that's been helpful for me, but I haven't, like, heard the true voice of God or whatever, as Quakers say.
Have you considered humanism?
What's that?
That is an organized form of atheism where you promote moral and ethical goodness.
Just saying there's no God is kind of like can be a little bit arrogant, like, because we don't know, there could be something that, like, it is God, but, like, so, I'm down for moral and ethic.
Is there, like, good and evil in the world? Do you ever get to see good and evil? Are you good and evil?
I think everyone has the capacity for good and evil. It just depends on which one they decide to follow. Mm. I think even people who, like, even sociopaths have the capability to do good. Yeah, it just depends. I think they both, like, exist within people. Yeah.
For Shannon, her agnosticism extends to how she views others. There is no way to determine the whole of a man through a single person's perception. To believe in the spectrum of grays that exists in humanity is a different form of faith, one no less abstract than a belief in a higher power. But really, enough with the wishy-washy. What about the dinosaurs, the good Christian kid, the last Jedi? Enter Sonia.
I identify as Indian Pentecostal, and the reason I say Indian in front of that is just because I feel like Indian culture is so weaved into my beliefs, along with being Pentecostal, so it's very different from any other type of Pentecostal, so Indian Pentecostal.
How does that currently influence, like, how you live your life today?
I still wear no jewelry, like a good Christian kid, obviously, and I feel like it definitely, like, it helps me find my independence in my lifestyle, and just remembering that, like, I can still believe in God, and I can still live my life, and even though there's other people who might disagree with that, that in the end, it's up to my beliefs.
All right. So, welcome to religious speed dating.
Yes.
I'm now going to ask you to forget all of that.
Sounds great.
We're just going to talk about what Sonia wants completely outside of your own religion.
All right, let's do it.
We'll see how you can do. Would you want to, like, keep track of a lot of gods, have a lot of variety to talk to?
I kind of like, this is going to sound strange, but I'd like a one-size-fit-all thing, like one god taking care of all of it.
Okay. You want to leave it up to, like, independent management,
yeah,
make sure they got
it. Because then the other gods, like, have issues with each other, and then I'm just like, wait,
that's very problematic.
So, yeah.
When it comes to your own behaviors, are you currently more of a lawful person, a chaotic person, or more neutral? Like, you do whatever you feel like you're doing.
I feel like that depends on scenario. I try my best to be lawful. But there are, I'm tempted sometimes to be chaotic, so I feel like I stand solidly in neutral.
All right. Now, what do you aspire to be? Would you like more chaos in your life or less chaos in your life?
I would love to have some peace of mind. I'd love to, like, sit, like, in the sun without allergies. That would be the best part. And just, like, read a book and be at peace.
Do you like nature?
Not yet, because my allergies are just like, no. So if we can take care of that, then yes.
Now, you mentioned you just wanted to, like, sit out in the sunshine for a while.
Yeah, give me some Benadryl. I'll be cool.
How about sun worship? Have you ever just thought about worship? You said you only wanted one person controlling everything.
Yeah.
And, like, the sun pretty much does that.
That is true. However, this is going to sound strange, but I don't want to have, like, a physical god like that. That kind of scares me.
Right.
I'm just like, I want it to be a spirit that exists. Like, so I feel like if I just look to the sun, first of all, I would need a lot of sunglasses.
That is very
definitely
true.
Some sunscreen. That's like a decent investment right there. But I feel like that'd be interesting. Like, nature's great, but could I survive it?
So finally,
okay.
You're getting told that, like, God isn't real.
Oh,
like,
no.
You see, I know, it is the saddest thing in the
very
world.
Sad.
You have direct evidence. What's your next move?
If I was actually, I feel like I'd be in such a state of denial. I would be like, no, that's not possible. Or I would try to find something else to worship.
All right. Well, hopefully that's going to be the sun, because I felt like that was an excellent pairing. My anti-evangelism failed, and I have not managed to create a new sun worshiper, but that's not due to my failure as a salesman. She's happy in her faith, and it's hard to get the content to stray. In this sense, my mom was 100% correct. Those who are currently faithful, or the true believers, don't seem to be going anywhere, and in fact seem just as dedicated, if not more. But the rest of her concerns seem to be inaccurate at best. V isn't too busy for the responsibility of religion, and in fact embraces their duties to others. they love serving at their temple and giving back to the community. Shannon still practices Quaker meditation for her mental health and hasn't ruled out God in whatever shape they may take. Alicia is ready to try absolutely everything, as long as she gets to talk to people or maybe even aliens. Kierkegaard, the Christian theologian who coined the term leap of faith, said that faith is the highest passion in a human being. Many in every generation may not come that far, but none comes further. To the elders in American society today, the faithful seem few and far between. But my generation does not see it this way. Simply that we have found the freedom to seek answers, not in the belief of those before us, but in what we see as worthy of aspiration, be that in a God, duty, or love of humanity. How marvelous that our leap of faith is one freely taken.